glad I'm free. We'll do announcements at the very end. Psalm 119. You seem to remember announcements are better at the end. Psalm 119. And we'll be in verse number 113. Psalm 119 has 176 verses, and we'll be done with them after a while. Aren't you glad we didn't do this in one Wednesday night study? Matt, that was not a good place to say amen. he said amen. Of course, I think I agree with him because we'd still be in here probably. But anyway, Psalm 119, let's read in verse, I'm going to skip all the preliminaries because you've heard it a lot of times now, and so you already know the 22 sections of 8 verses, and you got all of that. So we're down to 113, and this is what the psalmist said: I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all of them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the good singing tonight. We thank you for these. I know the weather is sort of troublesome outside, but Lord, these folks, they come to be faithful tonight, and I pray. I know some were providentially hindered, some sick, maybe not feeling well. Maybe they're watching by way of internet. And Lord, I just thank you for them. And I pray that we'd all get something from your word tonight, and we can leave this place being able to get through the rest of the week, Lord, until we get here on Sunday. And I pray that that would be the case. And Lord, as we do our prayer request here in a little bit, and I pray that you would just help those that are in need. And Lord, we're needy people. Here's where we get our help, right here from the Bible. And I pray that you'd do that for us here the next few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every one of these sections in Psalm 119 has some aspect or different application of the Bible. Every section has some different application. Well, tonight's David, the psalmist David, is again referring to, as he has done in the past, about persecution and harassment from evildoers. He says this in verse number 115, "Depart from me, ye evildoers." And it looks like he's been persecuted. It looks like he's been harassed by evildoers. And I found this section of 8 verses so important because, ladies and gentlemen, we are in that particular day to where we're harassed. We are made fun of and persecuted for what we believe. We are turning out to be the terrorists of the world, the ones that are holding back progress, if you will. And so that's the way the world looks at us, and that was what David was going through. But in that, David tells us how to get through all of that, and his determination was to resist those who mock God's word, not to embrace them, not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. In this world we live in today, we have a philosophy. The philosophy is this: well, it doesn't matter. I don't want you to get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. But we have this philosophy, and you hear it all the time. Well, it doesn't matter where you go to church as long as you go. Well, I've got news for you, and maybe this messes up your theology. But it does matter where you go to church. I had rather them stay home and watch football than go to some churches. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Every church is not preaching the truth. And so we must get out of this philosophy. The psalmist David, he determined. He was determined to resist those that mock the Bible. Resist those and call out those. I know you have. Anytime you reference the Bible or expose something either on social media like some of us do quite often, here's the one thing. They come back at us and go, well, judge not, lest you be judged. And then I say, where is it found? Oh, it's in there. Well, what's the rest of the verse say? Oh, I don't know, I just know that part. Well, learn the rest of it before you start quoting something you don't know. Woo, hallelujah. Judge not, lest you be judged. Don't know where it's found, and couldn't tell you what the context of the rest of the verse. But the Bible says, judge righteous judgment. You better know how to judge right and wrong. You better know how to judge between a red light and a green light. You better know how to judge between a rotten banana and a good banana. You better know how to judge but when you get ready to brush your teeth. You better know the difference in toothpaste and preparation. Hey, you better know the difference. Well, we just don't need to judge. Well, do that in the morning when you brush your teeth. Don't judge nothing in the cabinet. Just pull it out and start a brushing. You see, we don't do that at home. But when it comes about, oh, just don't make fun. Well, the psalmist David says, I'm making a determination. I'm making a determination. I'm going to resist those that mock the Bible. Well, let me give you these things right here. There's about four or five things, real fast, quick things. Number one, I want to show you this in verse 113, 114, and 115. Those three verses, there is a way of resistance. There is a way, a proper way to resist the world, resist the evildoers. And you'll find that in 113, 114, 115, he says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. All right, number one, if you want to resist, number one, you have to hate vain thoughts and love the pure word of God. Hate vain thoughts. You say, hate vain thoughts. I thought I wasn't supposed to hate anything. Yes, you're supposed to hate vain thoughts. You say, what are vain thoughts? Empty thoughts. You ever done this? Just be thinking and driving down the road, and maybe the devil, he'll come and sit on your shoulders. You ever done that to you? And start whispering in your ear. And he'll say stuff like, well, God don't really care about you. He don't even know where you're at right now. He don't even care what you're going through. You go down to that church and they scream and holler and fuss and you just wasting your time. God don't know. He don't know. He ain't concerned about you, your family, anything else. And you sit there and think on it. Psalmist David says, I hate vain thoughts, but I love thy law. The first attack was this. When Eve was in that garden and the serpent slithered in there, and the first thing he said was, yea, had God said. Question God's word. And listen, Eve didn't resist, did she? Now, there's two ways to respond. When the devil comes and he parches on your shoulder and starts whispering in your ear, and he'll say, yea, you really believe everything in that Bible? There's two ways to respond. You could say, like Eve, well, I don't know. I mean, he said it, but I mean, I don't know that it to be true. Or you could resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And you could say this, devil, that Bible says it. If God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Matter of fact, it settles it whether I believe it or not. So you might as well just mosey on, because the Bible said it. I'm sticking with the Bible. I may not see this thing through yet, but that Bible says it, and God said it. Leave me alone. Do not entertain vain thoughts, but love thy law. That's what David said. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know what the Bible says? James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You're to hate vain thoughts. Number two, you're to allow the Word of God to be your hiding place, your shield. That's what he said. In verse number 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy Word. He said, I hate vain thoughts, and I want the Bible to be my hiding place and my shield. Have y'all ever heard this? Y'all ever heard this? Let your conscience be your guide. Y'all ever heard that? Have you ever heard this one? Boy, I'm fixing to mess up your theology tonight. You ever heard this one? Follow your heart. Well, let me just tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't follow your heart. Your heart will lead you to destruction. Do not follow your conscience. Do not let your conscience be your guide. You say, well, what are we supposed to do? I mean, Dr. Phil says, follow your heart. Let your conscience be your guide. Well, you tell Dr. Phil to jump out the window three times, and you say, we're going to follow the Bible no matter what my heart says. We're going to follow the Bible no matter what my conscience says. We're going to follow the Bible. It is my hiding place. It is my shield. This is what I hide behind. It's my hiding place. Amen. So don't follow your heart. You can't trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. I don't even trust myself. Look in the mirror and say, buddy, I don't trust you. I don't trust you as far as I can throw you. He looks back at me and says, just follow your heart. Hey, did you know what David says right here? He says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Listen, let me give you this real quick. Let me give you this little tidbit. The more Bible you know, the more hiding places you'll have. The reason nobody can hide from the devil is because they don't know where the hiding place is. When the devil comes and he perches on your shoulder and he says, whatever he says, God, oh God, he don't know. Yeah, he didn't God say, God really didn't say it. He really didn't mean that. He don't even know where you're at. Well, then you run and hide and say, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's my hiding spot. The devil can't find me. Woo! But the reason people don't, they can't hide from the devil, they don't have a hiding place. They don't have a shield. Boy, it's rough tonight. Hallelujah. I guess I shouldn't have brought up Dr. Phil. Well, anyway. He says, if you want to be able to, the way to resist is to hate vain thoughts. The way to resist is to have that Bible as a hiding place and a shield. And then the third thing, and look at verse 1 and 15. Depart from me, ye evil doers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Reject the doctrines of the evildoers. I'll give you, for instance, Elijah in the Old Testament called upon the people of Israel to make up their minds concerning God once and for all. You know what he said? Over there in 1 Kings 18, this is what Elijah said. He came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You know why? They's on the fence. They's on the fence. And Elijah says, how long are you going to stay on that fence? Halted between two opinions. You need to decide. You need to decide whether you're going to believe what God says or don't. You need to decide whether you're going to be on the devil's side or God's side. You need to just decide. I mean, the fence, you're going to fall one way or the other, and you better fall right. Amen. hallelujah. We've got too many fence riders. They're halting between two opinions. And King David says, I'm departing from me, ye evildoers, for I'm going to keep the commandments of my God. That's the side of the fence I'm going to be on. That's the side of the fence I'm going to die on. I'm resisting. I am going to be a rebel. I am resisting this world. I am resisting other false doctrines. I am not going to embrace them. They are not going to be invited to preach behind this pulpit. I am not going to embrace ecumenical religion. I am not. I'm going to be a rebel. I'm going to resist the evildoers. I don't fit in at the ministerial association. I just don't fit in. They've invited me, and I don't fit in. I just, you know, and it just makes me feel weird. A fella don't even know how to put a shirt on. It bothers me. Got his collar backward. Listen, if you don't know how to put a shirt on, you got it turned around backwards. Whew. I mean, if they call you father and you dress like mama, I mean, something's wrong somewhere. They call you father and they dress like mama and they ain't even married. Say, why do you say all that? Well, some of you look like you just need to laugh a minute. Number two, you got the way of resist. Number two, the benefits of that. Here's the benefits of that you found in 116, 117. The benefits of resisting is this. Verse 116, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. And let not thy not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up. And I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. We need to realize, ladies and gentlemen, that God is the one that upholds us. And he is our assurance. He is our safety. We grow when that safety grows. Resistance. Those of you that lift weights. I ain't done that in a long time, but I can tell you, y'all can tell that. But those of you that do, if you don't put weight on there to resist and push back, you'll never grow strength. Amen. If you don't have any resistance. And so the psalmist David is the same thing spiritually. People don't like resistance spiritually because, you know, they like water. They take the path of least resistance. But here's the benefits of being resistant. You grow strength spiritually, and you're able to fight off the prince of the powers of the air. You lift weights. You have that resistance. The songwriter put it this way, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Well, the longer you lift weights, the sweeter he grows. The longer you grow strength spiritually, the sweeter he grows, and the more respect, that's what he said in 117, the more respect you'll have for that Bible. That's what he said. Now, the third thing, let me get to this one. The third thing is the foolishness of resisting the wrong thing. 118, 119 is what it says. Thou hast trodden down all of them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. Now, if you're going to be a resister and stand for truth, don't you resist the Word of God. Don't you resist the Word of God. Why? Because this is what God says. If you resist the Word of God, if you fail to learn from your past. What was it, Lincoln? Lincoln says, those who fail to learn from their past are destined to repeat it. There's one thing that is clear by looking at the Bible, looking into God's Word, and that is He judges. God will judge those that reject His Word. Believer or no, a non-believer, makes no difference whether you're saved or lost. He will judge those that reject His Word. Ask Adam and Eve. You can ask Adam and Eve, and they say, boy, I'm telling you what, we regret the day we disobeyed God. Man, we got kicked out, had to rebuild our home and everything. And I started sweating, started stinking. Asked Lot. Lot had to learn his lesson the hard way, didn't he? Oh, Moses. Oh, Moses. I'm disobeying God. He rejected God's word, and he hit that hit that rock when God said, speak to the rock, and it cost him a free trip to the Holy Land. Yeah. What about Jonah? I bet Jonah wishes he'd never rejected God's word. Big old fish come swallowed him up. Listen, the story of Jonah is a wonderful story. He rejects God, Jonah takes off a running, and he goes the opposite direction, and God catches him by the fish. Fish swallows him up, and then by chapter number 3, that fish vomits Jonah, regurgitates Jonah up on the dry ground, and when he's running when he hits the ground toward God. That's what the judgment of God will do to you. Yeah. You got to learn. Read that Bible. See what rejecting God, the Bible, did for those. Learn from the past so you don't repeat here in the present. The truth is seen in the lives of those that were heathens and those that were God's people, both of them. And I think it's Nahum 1:2. Says God is jealous, the Lord revengeth, and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Now, you don't hear a lot of preaching on that part of God. Everybody likes preaching, you know, and you know, if you like Joel Osteen, that's fine. And he's a good motivational speaker. He really is. But that's what he is, a motivational speaker. You will not hear him say anything resisted. It's always God loves and he's love, and if you want a better job, just, you know, love and rake your neighbor's yard and you'll have a better job, and your future and your destiny all depends on what time of the day you wake up, and the early bird gets the worm, you understand? And I mean, it's just sort of but somebody needs to preach the other side of the coin of God, and that is, yes, he's love. Yes, he's concerned about us. But if you reject that Bible, oh, he's a God of vengeance and of wrath, and he will take vengeance on his adversaries and his enemies. Yes, sir. Now, you say, well, why should that motivate? Listen, you look around you and see all the things that are done. Planned Parenthood and all this kind of stuff is selling these kids, these little baby body parts. They don't even know. The Bible says these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven is an abomination of him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. God hates that stuff. You mean God hates? Yes, there's things God hates. God hates he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates it. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Well, we might want to do a series on Psalms or Proverbs 6. These six things does the Lord hate. Yeah, God hates some stuff. He sure does. And you got to know the other side of that coin. God is love. God does hate some things. Oh, I didn't believe God hates. Well, that's why you ain't never read the Bible. If you didn't know that was in the Bible, you ain't read it. We're stuck on this, I love you, you love this Barney religion. Amen. Everybody wants a Barney church. Well, somebody's going to have to preach, hey, if you don't follow that Bible, this past Sunday, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. Oh, that's negative. Well, sure it's negative. It takes a negative and a positive to start a car. And you wonder why you can't get your car started. All you hear is positive preaching. The power of positive thinking. Just be positive. I'm going to preach one Sunday morning. Just be negative. Well, let me move on to this last thing. The foolishness of those that resist God's word. And the last thing, the fear that the resister should have. And I'll close. 120. One verse. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Now, let me close with this. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. This is what the psalmist David was talking about, the fear of God. You say, well, we shouldn't fear God. Oh, yes, we should. Oh, yes, we should. Oh, we should never fear God. Oh, again, you got to read the whole Bible. David says, my flesh trembleth for fear. Hey, when I was growing up in my mom and dad's house, and my dad told me to do something. He'd be going off to revival or something. He said, by the time I get back, I want this, and this done. And I'd look and say, well, he's going to be gone 5 days revival, and so I won't have to do nothing the first 3 days. I'll wait till the end of the week and get them all done. And then Mama says, your daddy's coming home early. And I'm like, amen. Trembling for fear of thee. Why? Trembling at his very word. Now, it's a fear. You say, well, we ought not be afraid of God like that. Hey, friend, this fear is a reverent fear. A fear of respect. A fear. It's that fear that you have when you walk into the courtroom because you got a speeding ticket. I don't care how many you've had. Every time you walk in there and there's a whole bunch of people and there's an old gray-haired guy gets up behind that bench and they say, all rise, and all this stuff, and everybody, right, he comes in this black robe. I'm telling you, I don't care what you're in there for. You're going, man, wish this was over. I mean, you could just not had your seatbelt on. And you're like, there's something about that that is a reverent fear. That's the way it ought to be with God. You say, what's the big deal? Because watch this. Paul said this in Romans 3. He lists a whole bunch of wicked stuff. He lists all kind. If we had time, I'd go over there. Romans 3, he lists a whole bunch of wicked stuff. And in verse 18, he says, for there is no fear of God before their eyes. Y'all remember, I don't know how long ago it's been, they had these little bumper stickers, especially all the kids had them. And if you got them, don't run out there when we pray and jerk it off your car. You know, because some people had it on their car and really didn't know what they were doing. But it's that little bumper sticker that says, no fear. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's the reason we're in the mess we're in today, is there's no fear. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There's no fear. You know why we're killing babies? No fear. No fear of God's judgment. Even if there is a God. We don't even believe in it, so hey, we can do whatever we want to because we'll never have to stand before God because God doesn't exist. Well, when you take your last breath, then we'll hear from you. And people think, and we think, even as Christians, you say, well, I'm saved. I don't have to worry about that. There's still a reverence. I'm still, listen, y'all want me to just testify a minute? I'm closing. Let me testify a minute. My daddy still says stuff to do. I still get scared. He's 80 years old. Maybe he didn't mind me telling y'all that. And when he says stuff, I do my best to try to do it. Why? It's just a reverent fear. Now, can I whoop him? I don't know. But if he told me tonight, I hope he don't, but if he told me tonight, son, I want you to come to my house after church. I want you to go in your old bedroom and lay across that bed. like we used to. And I'm going to be in there in a minute. And he'll make you wait 15 minutes. And he's in there in the kitchen fixing a sandwich. He goes, go on in there. I'll be in there in a minute. And you know what that is? Then you're in there going, waiting on the judge to come in. Lay across that bed. Son, he'd go to town. And if he said that tonight, out of reverence, I'd lay across the bed and take it. Try my best to take it. Woo! Now, we're laughing, and I want you to laugh, but I'm telling you, when that Bible speaks to our heart, we ought to have the same reverence and say, God, I'm going to do my very best to do what you've told me to do. Why? Because I'm scared of you? No, it's not a scared. It's a reverent fear. The fear of God before my eyes. I don't want to see the wrath of God on me, my family. I want to do what that Bible says. And that's what the psalmist David was talking about. Resistance. Resist. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. And there's a right way to do it. I'm not talking about just, but there's a right way to do it. Anyway, all right. Psalm 119. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the Bible. We'll have some prayer requests. And then I've got...